Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study program presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. We want to thank you for joining us today as we examine the truth of God's Word and the answers it holds to life's most important questions. If you have questions about this lesson or would like to study further, please contact us at montevistacoc.com. Now let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together. Well, good morning, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning in to the Go and Teach Bible Study program this morning. If you're in the Phoenix area and you're looking for a place to worship the Lord today, we would absolutely love to have you come and visit with us over at Monte Vista. Just check out our website for more information. It's montevistacoc.com. You know, as technology advances forward and we all have smartphones and we're all connected to social networks and we're all sharing pictures and moments and thoughts with each other online, I think it's difficult for us today to set boundaries. We used to say that television, probably, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, we used to think that television was inviting advertisers and all kinds of other immoral things into our living rooms. Well, today in 2013, we, with our smartphones, have invited our friends and invited our neighbors into our bedrooms, into our cars, and yes, even into our bathrooms. I find myself sometimes frustrated about the direction that some people are headed in their own lives. And I find myself losing focus of myself, losing focus on my own responsibilities. Now, I'm not saying social media is bad. I'm not saying Facebook is bad in any way. I'm just saying that the more we have opportunity to hear and to know and to experience everyone else's life, there's a greater and greater challenge we have in our own to keep focused. Recently, though, I found a lot of peace for my own life in knowing how little power I actually have over others. You think about that. Think about how little power you have to make someone do something. This is increasingly important for me as a parent. I realize on a daily basis how little power I have over my 2.5-year-old daughter. I wish I had more power. I wish she would do everything I told her at the moment I told her to do it, but I'm realizing more and more that I have very little power. But I do have power over myself. I do have power over my reactions. I do have power over the way I handle situations. I realize that I only have power over me. And the fact is, this morning, you only have power over you. You know, it's kind of interesting because Jesus says this pretty bluntly to the Pharisees themselves. The Pharisees were these religious people who should have known who Jesus was, but they had sort of gotten stuck in their traditions. They taught the law really well, but when it came to actually practicing it themselves, they were really bad at it. And I kind of look down on the Pharisees a lot. I find myself being negative about them. But the fact is, I struggle with the same problems that the Pharisees struggled with in a lot of cases. So Jesus says about the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 4, he says, "For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one finger." See, the Pharisees made a lot of rules, and they put these hard to handle laws and regulations so that everyone else could follow them. But they themselves, well, they didn't think they needed to follow them at all. They were better than that. I think we have a real problem today when we get distracted in trying to control others, when we haven't even gotten control of ourselves. It's easy for us to develop an expectation for others that we don't have of our own selves. You know, Paul, over in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, speaks of the struggle that he had in his own life. Paul was a great teacher. He was active in converting many and starting and establishing churches. But Paul said, "I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. 1 Corinthians 9:27. You know, we need to be thinking about that. Yes, we want to teach others. Yes, we want to convert others to Christ, but we need to focus on ourselves too. We need to think about our own life. We need to focus on our own heart, and we need to focus on our own reactions before we go off and try to save the world. There are a few scenarios where this becomes real for me, and maybe you've found examples in your own life where these are applicable to you. But the first scenario I see where this becomes really important to know that I only have power over me is when we're mistreated. When I'm mistreated, when somebody complains about me publicly and makes all kinds of critical remarks about me and about the work that I'm doing, how do I handle that? How do I deal with that? How do I deal with somebody who is mistreating me or being critical of me or complaining about me? Well, Jesus provides a clear answer over in Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. Jesus says, "Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." What a sobering verse. What a difficult concept for us to wrap our mind around. It doesn't matter what someone's motive was. It doesn't matter why they decided that it was okay to harm us in some way or to attack us in some way. It doesn't matter why they felt it was okay to publicly slam you or make critical remarks about you in public. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they did or how they did it or why they did it. You only have the power over you. And wouldn't it be great if God would have blessed us all with the control button for everyone's reaction? Wouldn't it have been great if God could have allowed us all to have the ability to control each other? Actually, that'd be pretty frightening if you really think about it. But I can't control other people. All I can control is me. I only have power over me. But you see, in that is a lot of peace. Knowing that I have the power to control my reaction. Knowing that I have the power to show love. I have the power to give blessings instead of cursings. I have the power to pray for them. I have the power to let Christ live in me, to turn the other cheek, and not to hold a grudge. That's what we want to do in a lot of cases, right? We want to hold a grudge. We want to never forgive that person until they have proved to us that they're sorry for what they've done. But you know, if they're my enemy and they're treating me that way, I have the power to treat them with respect, the kind of respect that they're unwilling to give to me. I have the power, not over them and to control them and to cause them to act differently next time. Because you know what? How many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? 7 times? No, 70 times 7. We have the responsibility to forgive. We have the responsibility to let go. We have the responsibility to show love and to bless and to pray. But how often do you find yourself reacting to someone's mistreatment of you solely based on how they treated you, solely based on the way that they attacked you, that you attack back or you lash back or you let it just ruin your day? How often do you just stew on something? Think about it over and over and over again, just letting it cause you to become bitter and angry. But you know what? Just remember that you don't have power over them. You can't control them. Are you going to let them control you? No, you need to have the power over yourself and to allow the Spirit of Christ to dictate the way that you respond to others. Jesus truly is the great teacher in that he gives us the best example of how to handle this situation in his own life. As he hung on the cross, looking down at those who wrongfully nailed him there, could he have been bitter? Could he have allowed it to ruin him? Sure, but he didn't. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And sometimes we need to just look inwardly, control the things we can control, ask God to direct our footsteps, and not worry about what everyone else is doing. You know, we also need to understand this principle. Remember that we only have power over ourselves when we go to a brother and when we correct them. You find yourself scrolling through your Facebook newsfeed and you see a questionable photo that someone has posted of them out partying with friends at a bar. How do you react to that? You know, I know how the Pharisees would have reacted to that. They would have jumped right on it and they would have pointed that man's sins out and they would have shamed him publicly. You know what? It is important for us to deal with each other's sins and to help correct each other. That's absolutely something that we're responsible for doing. But we also need to be careful in the way that we handle those situations. We need to be careful in the way that we jump to conclusions, the way that we judge other people. Jesus says over in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but don't consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." We should certainly help take time to correct a brother, but we need to focus on ourselves first. I think we have developed this nasty habit of blowing someone else's sin way out of proportion and completely overlooking our own. When it's time to correct a brother, when we have questions about whether a brother is living in sin or not, before we go jumping in and addressing the problems in their life, we need to be honest about the problems in our own life. We have the power to look inwardly before correcting others. We have the power to ask if I'm struggling with the same issue or a similar issue as my brother is. We have the power to humble ourselves and to approach them in a spirit of meekness and humility. We have the power to realize that we're no better than they are. We have the power to listen to them. We have the power to ask them if we've come to the wrong conclusion. We have the power to ask them if what we saw or what we heard was actually true. We have the power to acknowledge that none of us are perfect and that we all need to rely on the grace of God to cover our sins. We have that power. We can't just say, "Well, I couldn't help myself. I just had to comment back and tell them how wrong they were." Well, you need to be careful and be thoughtful of yourself and realize that while you might be looking and investigating a small speck in your brother's eye, there might be a giant issue that you still haven't overcome. There's a problem that is talked about, maybe joked about, with a lot of preachers. Preachers tend to harp on things that they themselves struggle with. And I find that in some cases to be pretty true. And that's not just true of preachers, that's true of us all. When we view someone, when we're critical of someone's faults, it might just be that we have those same faults in our own life. But how quickly do we judge someone? How quickly do we escalate their shortcomings without considering our own? Realize that you don't have the power over anyone else. You don't have the power to change them. You really only have the power to change yourself. I always think that that story is really interesting because at the end of that, who is the only person that we can guarantee will be without something stuck in their eye? It's not our brother. The only person that we can guarantee, that you can guarantee, is not going to have sin after that encounter is you. Because you're the only one responsible for removing that log from your eye. We also need to realize that we only have power over us. Whenever we're given a job, whenever we're given a responsibility, we all know, as an example here, we all know that we're supposed to do all things without grumbling and disputing. That's over in Philippians 2:14. We all know that. We all look back to the example of the children of Israel, how they wandered in the wilderness and how they complained and how God punished them for that complaining. We can all acknowledge that we shouldn't be grumbling and complaining. But what about when your best friend just can't stop telling you about all the reasons why his wife is just driving him insane? You have a friend like that who's just always talking about how his wife is nagging at him for this reason or complaining at him for that reason, how he refers to her as his ball and chain. What are you going to do in that situation when you know that you shouldn't be grumbling and complaining, but all of your friends around you are just grumbling and complaining? Over in John chapter 21, I find this passage to be so fascinating because Jesus is so frank with Peter. And I really look up to Peter because Peter is just a real person. He had real problems. He struggled with real issues that I struggle with. And after Peter had denied Christ three times and the rooster crowed and Peter realized what he had done and went off and was sorrowful, after Jesus died and was raised again, Jesus and Peter had an opportunity to have another conversation. And over in John chapter 21, verse 15, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And Peter answered him and said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And this conversation went back and forth. Jesus asked him again, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes." And Jesus said, "Tend my sheep." And again, one more time, Jesus said, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Of course I do, Lord." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." You see what Jesus is doing here? He's giving Peter an opportunity to say three times to Jesus that he loves him. He's kind of giving him an opportunity to take back the denying that he had done of him. But he's also in this responding to him by saying, "Get to work." He's saying, "Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." And then when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." And so here he has given Peter a job to do. Follow me. What does Peter do? Peter turns around, looks at John, and says to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." And so what I see here is Jesus being so frank with Peter and just telling Peter, "You know what? Mind your own business. What business is it of yours that someone else does this or that or goes here or there? What business is that of yours? You follow me." And isn't that what we're talking about here? We're talking about minding our own business. That's kind of a really frank way of putting it. But we're really talking about paying attention to ourselves, looking at the job we've been given to do. And in that example of the friend who's complaining and the friend who's grumbling about his wife, what are we supposed to do in that case? Well, do we jump right in and get right into the middle of the grumbling, but then blame it on him later? "Well, it's his fault, Lord. I wouldn't have grumbled if he wouldn't have been grumbling first." We're not going to be able to blame grumbling or complaining or really any other kind of sin on anyone else but ourselves. It's our job to follow the instruction of the Lord. We have the power to do that. And we need to be very careful that we're not being led around by what other people are doing. When we know what the right thing to do is and we don't do it, that's sin. Think about it, that you have the power to take responsibility for your own choices and your own reactions. You have the power to not be drawn in by the choices of others. You have the power to follow the instruction of the Lord, even when you're the only one, even if you have to lose friendships for it. You have the power to mind your own business and to guard your own heart from sin. Are you following in the footsteps of your neighbors, of your friends, of your coworkers? Are you following their examples? Or are you following in the footsteps of Jesus? I think in all of these interactions that we have, there's a few important questions that we can ask ourselves to help pull ourselves out of the habit of trying to deal with other people, having to care so much about what everyone else is doing. There are a few questions we can ask ourselves if we're mindful and thoughtful about asking them on a regular basis. We can ask, how does my reaction in this situation glorify God? That is absolutely the number one question we should be asking. It became really popular recently to ask the question, what would Jesus do? And while that phrase might have become meaningless for a lot of people, it's still really important to ask ourselves on a regular basis, what would Jesus do in this situation? What can I do with my reaction to glorify God? The second question we can ask ourselves is, how can I use this situation to serve others? How can I use this situation to lay down my life as a sacrifice for someone else? And then finally, we can ask ourselves, how does my reaction to this situation benefit my standing with the Lord? And if we can ask these three questions, how can I glorify God, how can I serve others, and how can this reaction benefit me, then I think we'll be a lot closer to focusing on ourselves and choosing the correct reaction rather than being so caught up in being worried about everyone else and focused on everyone else's problems. Because remember, we don't have the power to control anyone else but ourselves. Now, I do want to say, though, that I'm not advocating that we have no responsibility to help others. We do. We absolutely do. But as Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 7, basically, if we're just blind to our own sins, how can we ever hope to help someone else? If it would be so much easier for us to say that we always need to focus on ourselves. And that's not what I'm saying. Or maybe it would be easier for us to say that we always need to focus on others. But this is kind of where it's difficult to teach a balance. It's difficult to teach that there's a balance here. Throughout God's word, we see plenty of passages that help us see the importance of helping a brother. We see in James chapter 5 and verse 20 where James says, "Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." Even Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, as he stood there and looked over the city of Jerusalem, was so concerned that he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Jesus was concerned about others. He was concerned about the souls of those who were lost. God wants everyone to be saved. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance, and so should we. But we're never going to be able to help others if we haven't focused on ourselves first. And so in conclusion this morning, I just want to read a passage from Haggai, the prophet Haggai in chapter 1 and verse 7. It's a sobering thought for us all to think about. It's a sobering reality that we have in our life. And if you find yourself getting caught up in other people's problems, if you find yourself getting so distracted by the difficulties that other people are going through, listen to the words of Haggai here. He says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Consider your ways. Not the ways of someone else. Consider your ways. And once we've considered our path, once we've considered our ways, then we can truly be a help and a benefit to those who are lost and dying in this world. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning, and I pray that you'll have opportunities this week to focus on yourself, to focus on your own life, and to avoid the distractions and the busyness and the concern that Satan throws at us every day. Thank you for joining us today. To hear this program again, please visit our website at montevistacoc.com. If you're in the Phoenix area, come visit us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. We're located at 2202 North 40th Street. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30, and again on Wednesday night at 7. For more information about the Monte Vista Church of Christ or to request a personal Bible study, please go to montevistacoc.com. Hallelujah.